Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Reg.
I'm Tori MB.
How you doing today, brother? Feeling good? Oh, he in that mode. So what's going on?
Man, I'm excited about today's episode.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm excited. This is, you know, and then I think it's kind of the timing is right. You know, we're doing Run the Jewels 2.
Mm-hmm.
That it features like the producer LP and the great Killer Mike,
Grammy Award winner,
high school from the greater Atlanta area,
Grammy Award winning
Killer Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of the group Run the Jewels too. I'm excited to be doing this project.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're fresh off the heels of him having a clean sweep at the Grammys in the rap category.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Clean sweep. 3 Grammys in a row.
And then, you know, going to jail.
He got the youth upset in a tizzy.
Yeah, and then he went to jail. Just mm-hmm. the most Atlanta shit ever.
Yeah. So all my heroes been in cuffs. So I was like, all right, man.
Yeah, I love Killer Mike. Yo, when I first moved to Atlanta in 2002, first of all, when I heard him on The Whole World, the Outkast single,
mm-hmm.
and I heard him rap, I was
damn, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
That was one. I was like, pretty much like, I was like glued because like Outkast is my favorite group of all time. So then like they have Killer Mike on there and I'm like, yo, this is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like his rap, like I love that rap that he did on there. So like when I moved to Atlanta and like finding out like, you know, more about, because Atlanta artists are like a lot more accessible than they are in New York. Finding out that like, you know, I went to Southside High School and he went to our rival, Doug High School. So like, you know, it was just something like, yo, like he was accessible. He was touchable, you know, like rappers like T.I., Bone Crusher. Lil Jon was like in another stratosphere. You wasn't going to see Lil Jon on the regular. You wasn't going to see Ludacris on the regular. But artists like Shorty Low, Gucci Mane, wasn't going to see Jeezy on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
But like there were certain artists that you was going to see like outside, like the, you know, Sean Paul from the Young Bloods. Like you was going to see those. It was like Killer Mike was like a neighborhood guy, even though he was somebody you don't want to play with. Like he also was like a very like nice, kind person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, having a name and like being the size of a man that he is, like he's very intimidating, but he's also like a very like
nice person. Yeah.
Person. So, I was very happy for him with the Grammys, but it's also very funny that my little brother Thomas, my youngest brother, who lives in Atlanta, like a lot of his classmates had no idea who Killer Mike is, and they live in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm just like, how is that? But also, I forgot the way the kids consume music, man.
Yeah, it's completely different. It's not, you know, the radio's not dictating what you listen to.
Yeah.
We dictate what we listen to now.
Mm-hmm.
I never have to hear a Killer Mike song in my life if I'm not looking for it. It's just how it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the reality. Not me personally, but you know what I mean.
Okay.
So what topics we got today? I know you
wanted to talk about, did you watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
What did you think?
I watched it in 2 days. I love it. It's really good. It actually made me go back and watch the movie. I watched the show with Donald Glover. It's amazing. And then after I finished it, I watched the movie. The movie pales in comparison to the show.
Yeah, I think that Donald Glover is like a student of everything that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that, like, so I was having a conversation with Sarah and I was like, yo, do you think that like Donald Glover has like studied coolness? And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, yo, like, do you see this nigga? Like this nigga, he looks like the coolest nigga ever. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like.
Yeah, now he does. Yeah.
It seems now.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to like where he started, it seems like he did like a deep dive into like what's cool and like did a bunch of research. So even like how his interviews go now, how he talks, like when, if you watch early interviews of him, his voice is like really high pitched and like he's trying to like make people laugh. And like now, like basically, this motherfucker has become Lando Calrissian, a.k.a. Billy Dee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, coolest motherfucker ever. So I say that to say, when I watched this movie, like, he just, like, exudes, like, a confidence that, like, I'm just like, damn, like, if I didn't know the Childish Gambino that I knew when I first was introduced to him, I would, like, be like, yo, like, how is this dude, like, not, like, beating women off him with a stick? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, a lady, like, he just, one of those those people, but like I through watching Mr. Smith, it was just a lot of things that I just thought about. And if you look at him, like you could tell, like what he wears, everything that he does is like very calculated.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he does when he wakes up in the morning, he has like a list of things that like he can wear, like style of haircut. Like I feel like he does like surveys, like how a president, like people do for the president.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, he studies all of this shit. For somebody that wants the persona to be, he wants the perception of him to be that he doesn't care or that he's not online.
Mm-hmm.
He's online. Oh, he's online a lot.
He knows that. That's what I'm saying. Like, he knows what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like the show, like I thought like the action was good. I thought the fight scenes were dope. The
chemistry was amazing.
Yeah, I think the way that they told the story was really cool because mm-hmm. like they went into it like completely not knowing anything about one another and then mm-hmm. like falling in love and like basically being at a point like where they could. They were at a crossroads. It was just like, yo, like we're like really in a relationship. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think that's cool. I won't spoil anything for the fans, but
yeah, I hope we get a season two. It ended well enough for us to get a season two, so we'll see.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of this show, the Vince Staples show, finished that, right?
I did, yeah.
So me and you had a conversation about that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I did not know that he leaned on Donald Glover for a lot of the writing of the Vince Staples show.
But like when he said it, it made a lot of sense. Oh, yeah, like you no, can see. Yeah.
No, it did. And then that's why. And that. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a huge Drop Humor fan, right? I love Seinfeld. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like that's like my shit. But it's something that I realized. And I love Frasier. Frasier's like one of the greatest shows of all time, right? But I realized that on certain things like of comedy, I always only expected that kind of comedy from white people. And like, yeah, like why the fuck would I box myself in, right? But I didn't realize it until it was happening, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a moment. With Atlanta, like I kind of like with Donald Glover, I guess because like of 30 Rock in the Community, like I kind of like understood that, you know, that was his kind of humor. But from Vince Staples, that's not kind of what I expected. So I was thrown off by it. And I was just like, wait a second. Like, you know, this is too smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so then I had to like go back and rewatch it. And I was like, okay, like I get it. And I watched it with like a different lens. Cause I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't what I expected the first time go around when I saw Vince Staples show.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went back and revisited it, all of the charm, all of the little nuances, like I was like more like I wasn't like tensed up, like trying to like, all right, make me laugh. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like it was like very intelligent laughter. Like
I love
smart. And
yeah. You know? I love family episodes of anything. That's my shit.
The cookout
episode. I love that episode. Like anything that has like some type of family oriented perspective, I usually am drawn to.
Yeah,
so that episode was great.
It's something.
Yeah.
And I think the funniest thing is like in my family, like I have a bunch of like Android relatives. So like they just like sometimes like they be thinking that like nobody's seeing what they saying. And sometimes we'll still see it. Like it is so funny.
Yeah.
Shit. Or like not be invited to shit. I definitely, oh man.
Yo, her not letting go of who made that mac and cheese was crazy.
Like shit like that really be a thing, man. Like at Thanksgiving, I have a preference of who I like to have cook my mac and cheese
mm-hmm.
cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started some beef in the pan.
You fucking would. Yeah, man. So seeing shit like that was cool. That second episode with the bank robbery was really, was fire. Just seeing that angle of like, yo, like him going up there talking to the janitor, like, yo, you know they robbing this place, you ain't gotta work.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, nah. They said I should sweep, I'm sweep. And like tying it back to like, you know, who owned the building and that being the code for the safe. And yeah. The writing was good.
Yeah, the writing was good. The carnival episode was my shit.
Oh man. Yo, that ending, the end of that episode, that argument that they had.
Yeah, him and
yeah.
That was funny. The back to the bank episode when he went outside, like, because the guy wouldn't. It was basically all about like the guy wouldn't help him until mm-hmm. he beat him, and then once he got free, like he's pointing at Vince, and then they just shoot him in the fucking head.
Yeah,
what a fucking
head. Yeah. The white guy. Yeah, not knowing your surroundings, not being in control of like or being used to guns being pointed at you and not knowing what to do. And that was the contrast, right? Because Vince is walking with him and he's like, yo, I've been in this situation type shit. He's like, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
I wouldn't point a thing.
Hey, yeah. Keep
your hands up. Ah, man. But I also, the one thing that infuriated me, I was like, yo, there's no way that Vince is getting away. Like, they're going to look at the cameras and see he's dapping these niggas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought about, too. I thought about that, too. Like, yo, how are you just walking away from this? And nothing's addressed in every episode. Yeah. It's just a whole new day.
Yeah.
Which I fuck with. Yeah,
pretty cool. It's,
yeah.
It's show about
day in the life.
I'm cool. Day in
yeah.
life. Staples. I'm cool with that.
That's my type of shit.
So festival season is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one of the bigger festivals right now, the Rolling Loud Festival,
mm-hmm.
they've just added Kanye and Ty Dolla $ign.
Mm-hmm.
And originally Nicki Minaj was like the main headliner, but now obviously
Kanye. She's doing, yeah. So is she still doing it?
She's still doing
it. Okay.
As far as right now. So right now it's Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign, Nicki Minaj, Post Malone, Future, and Metro Boomin. Those are like the main headliners of Rolling Loud.
You know what that means. That means Future and Metro Boomin's album's going to come out before Rolling Loud.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, well, they're on a couple festivals, believe it or not, because they are also doing, is it the Roots Picnic or is it the...
It might be Governor's Ball.
No, I'm going to go back. They're only doing Rolling Loud as of now.
Okay.
As of now. But I go on to say, I'm really excited to see. I'll never ever attend a Rolling Loud. It's just not my.
It's a lot. It's too busy.
It's not too busy. It's just that like it's an audience I just don't care to be around.
Yeah.
In that kind of realm, like, you know, I'll go to Coachella. I'll go to Governor's Ball. But like Rolling Loud, I just don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. I do want. Maybe, but like I'm also not interested in seeing Kanye and Ty Dolla $ign together for this album. That whole wearing a mask thing while you perform, and Kanye kind of heavy now, and he not running back and forth and engaging with the crowd like he used to. He's not the same type of performer in my opinion. So I don't really need to see him as a performer anymore. I saw him for the Watch the Throne run, which was amazing. And I just don't think I'm gonna get that caliber of Ye anymore. It's kind of one and done.
Okay. I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
I'm indifferent, but I get you.
Mm-hmm.
JR, the fuck? Trying to take a hold of China?
I do, but I do want to see Andre at the Roots Picnic. I do want to see Joe Scott.
The fucking flute?
Yeah, I want to see Joe Scott.
Okay. Let's talk about the Roots Picnic.
Yeah.
You got Jilly from Philly, Joe Scott,
mm-hmm.
Wayne, Nas, Gunna, Victoria Monet, Babyface.
Yeah.
I wrote down Babyface because I knew that if I didn't mention him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sexy Red, who is getting a lot of backlash for being on the stage.
Why?
Because it's the Roots Picnic. They think everybody's supposed to be woke on that stage.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Wale and Andre 3000 at his flute.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then there's like a lot of other people. I just, you know.
Yeah, Gunna, Nas.
Mm-hmm. The Roots Picnic is something that like, because since I'm already going to Governor's Ball, Roots Picnic might be like a last minute thing that I might decide to go to.
Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I already paid for Governor's Ball. So, like.
Yeah, Roots Picnic, man. That shit, it's a good lineup. It always is. Last time I tried to go to Roots Picnic, the world shut down. Me and my cousin Ashley, we bought our tickets and everything.
I remember that year because I bought tickets to mad shit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I was so mad?
Yeah. You was trying to get your money back for everything.
Yeah. I had paid for like all these different like festivals and shit like that.
And Ticketmaster was trying to hold out. It was one of the only ones trying to hold out. They're like, yeah, no, we're just pushing it back. And it's like, no, nigga. Everything is shut down. Give niggas their fucking money back.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And you got Coachella, Lana Del Rey, Tyler Creator, Doja Cat. I'm not that impressed with you.
With that lineup?
I think also, I need to see Doja Cat live. I've already seen Tyler on three. I went to Camp Flognaw. I've seen him at Coachella already when he was lower on the card. And I forgot where the fuck that I saw him at like another show in New York. I forgot like some random shit with album.
Yeah. So. I never seen Tyler, but I've seen Doja. I saw Doja when she still was like
Oh, shoot, Thick Doja.
Yeah, Thick Doja had eyebrows. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and a lot of Dre, I just feel like, I don't know. And especially, I don't think Lana Del Rey is an artist that should be the closer of something. Not because she's not worthy being a closer. It's just that, like, to me, Lana makes really sleepy music.
That's rolling credits music.
Yeah.
Like, so it's the end.
She should be here. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I should be leaving when her shit is playing.
Yeah, but she gonna have, Lana bring a different breed of women out.
Out there barefoot with their dirty ass feet, vibing out.
With the Air Force Ones, sundresses and dirty Air Force Ones. That's her crowd.
That's her crowd. And then last but not least of the notable festivals, we have the Governor's Ball, which has Post Malone. I don't even know how to pronounce the second person's name. The Killers, 21 Savage, Tyler, SZA, Peso Puma, Renee Rapp, my girl, Don Toliver, and Victoria Monet. It's a really good lineup.
It's a good lineup.
Me and Sarah are going to go to that. It's over in Queens.
Okay.
So I just got.
Is it at Forest Hills?
No, it's with a Mets play.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. This will be my second Governor's Ball, so pretty excited.
That's fly. I would love to see Don Toliver and Victoria Monet. I haven't seen her yet. SZA, seen SZA back in the day, but SZA, 21. It's a great lineup.
We saw Old Body SZA.
Yeah, we saw Old Body SZA. We saw, yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be great.
We saw Thugged Out 21 Savage.
Yeah, he's still thugged out, but there's money there. Like, you can tell he has a skincare routine now.
Less fake.
He has a skincare routine. You could tell.
Oh,
there's money.
Festival season is upon us, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I'm really looking forward to. I've been a music festival. I got to get my money up so I can start getting these VIP tickets and shit.
Same. One thing I was going to bring up. So I watched this new Kelly Rowland movie with Trevante Rhodes and you know, it's called Mia Culpa.
Okay.
Tyler Perry got to hire a writing staff, like a proper,
you know, he writes
writing staff. Yeah, that's the thing. You could tell.
I wonder why he would feel like, well, no, I actually know why he's cheap, but.
You could tell. He wrote this, obviously through the whole movie, when you watch this movie, and this is not giving anything away, but when you watch this movie, you know that there's this sexual tension between Trevante and Kelly Rowland, right? And when they finally get to their thing, it's just like, yo, like, a dude wrote this? Like, it's just, like, the way he wrote it is so, he's like, he has them, like, Trevante's character is an artist. He's an artist, right? So, you know, he paints and stuff. So, like, one, okay, so I have to give this part away because it's fucking crazy, if you don't mind. It's fucking crazy. All right. So there's a part in the movie where, you know, there's this tension. She's supposed to be representing Trevante, right? Because he's being accused for murder, right? So she goes to his house all the time to check on him. So then he finally tells her on a day, he's just like, yo, like, I'm attracted to you and I see how you look at me. So I know you're attracted to me too. She's like, nah, fuck out of here, blah, blah, blah. So she leaves. So he's like, yeah, nah, I need a new lawyer because you're not facing your feelings toward me. You're not being honest about how you feel about me, right? So I'm like, so I'm literally watching this movie like, all right, whatever. Anyway, long story short, she leaves. She comes back one day. And this nigga, since he decides like, yo, she's never about it with me, I'm just move on and show her how I really live. So some white girl comes up naked and he fucking around with her and he's like, oh yeah, you could leave or whatever. So she's dipping. The girl starts giving him head and Kelly Rowland's character is like in the elevator looking like, cause he lives like in a loft or whatever and elevator is like see through whatever. So she's watching it happen.
Watch this.
Yeah. That's what I said. She's watching it happen. This white girl's giving him head and he's like, yo, yeah, I know she's looking at me, so he's locking eyes with Kelly Rowland while she's going down in the elevator, right? She gets in the car, her friend calls her, her little lawyer friend calls her, and he's like, yo, did you get these pictures? Like, your husband's cheating on you. Sends her a picture of her husband walking in a hotel with some other girl, right? So she's like, what? I can't believe this. Gets out of the car, goes back upstairs to where he's fucking this white girl now. He's fucking this white girl. She comes in. He gets the white girl off of him, and he just starts making out with her. I'm like, yo, this nigga's life is lit. This girl left. She left. His lawyer left. Saw him fucking a white girl. Came back upstairs and was like, yeah, no, like, it's my turn type shit. They start getting into it. She's like, no, I can't do this. He's like, all right. Takes her on a motorcycle ride. They go somewhere else, and then they fuck there, covered in paint. Like, yo, what the fuck is this? What am I watching?
I'm watching that shit as soon as you get
the like, what is it? Like, what was the pitch of this?
Nah, this is mad funny. So, like, I'm laughing because they had a premiere for
it. Yeah, and Beyonce went. Beyonce was sitting there, and you know how Beyonce, all the videos we see of her, she'd be like this. Like, she can't sit still. She's probably watching this shit like, this is. You did this, Kelly?
Nah, you think this is why they get Kelly in the living room?
Oh, at the shit. On the Today Show, whatever, Good Morning America. Man, apparently it wasn't about that. They said because she has in her contract that you can't ask her about Beyonce, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's trying to promote her own thing. Obviously, Beyonce is Beyonce. So she went on there to promote her movie.
And they were going to ask her about Beyonce?
They did. They asked her, but it wasn't like aggressive. All the writing that I saw was like, oh, they aggressively asked her. But she asked her, she was like, oh, like, you know, speaking of, you know, Destiny's Child, 20 years, blah, blah, blah. Were you just as surprised as we were when she dropped the country songs? And she was like, I'm so proud of her or whatever. And she was like, yeah, but like, you, were you surprised as we were? Like, did you already know? She's like, I'm just so proud of her. Like, she just said it again. And then the interviewer moved on. And then when they came back from commercial, Kelly was gone.
It probably was like a mounting thing. She was like, I had to get chains in the closet.
Yeah.
Asked me about shit that I told
her. I got chains to a fucking mop, to some fucking mop water.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
That's, all right, Reg, you sold me, bro.
Yo.
You told me to watch that shit. Cause I swear to God, when crazy. I seen everybody on the time not talking about how bad it was, I was like, I'm not gonna watch this, man. I don't wanna see my like, ladies and gentlemen, I know Beyonce is gorgeous, but Kelly Rowland is my favorite member of Destiny's Child, always has been. I just think that
Kelly
goddess is fine.
So I just Kelly is gorgeous.
You know, go down that road, you know, up that road to Tyler Perry. The fact that Trevante Rhodes is now doing Tyler Perry movies mm-hmm. is crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm surprised. Like, I thought the Moonlight, that nigga was going to be lit.
That he was going to be, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I'm, like, shocked. But, you know, to each his own, like, shout out to him. Like, you know, I just thought that he was going to have, I thought his career was going to go on a different trajectory. Not saying that working on Tyler Perry movies is not that, but as Reg just described, come on, bro.
And like I said, I find you attractive. You find me attractive, too. You're not being honest, like, bro.
Yeah. Nah, you're all right. It's funny. Acrimony is one of my favorite movies.
Acrimony?
Yeah, it's a movie, the Tyler Perry movie with Taraji P. Henson.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of Tyler Perry movies I just haven't seen. I feel like my mom has seen all of them.
Yeah, your mom has
seen. Yeah.
But no, Reg.
That's her demographic. It's probably on BET, right? BET Plus?
Probably.
Yeah.
But you need to watch it. Tell me about it.
All right, man. Please. I'll cue it up, man.
Nah, please, Reg. Please.
I will.
I'm begging.
Acrimony. Let me see.
Nah, because you thought...
this shit was just... I'm like, bro, this is...
Sleep on Acrimony.
And then I was watching, oh, okay. 18% Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. You know, I fuck with bad movies. Yeah, so,
but no, yeah. Please watch it. I'm begging you.
Hell Have No Fury, Tyler Perry's Acrimony. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I really would appreciate it if you watched that
shit. Yeah. I'm going to check it out.
Oh, man. Let's get to that.
Awkward transition, but we are getting into Run the Jewels 2, like we mentioned earlier. So it's released in 2014, October 24th to be exact. It's a second studio album by the rap duo, which consists of Grammy Award winning rapper Killer Mike and LP, producer LP. The album was released for free before being made available through Mass Appeal and RBC Records. The album was led by three singles, Blockbuster Night Part 1, Oh My Darling Don't Cry and Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck. What were your early memories of this album? I know you did a review on FKB Online, and even with when the first one came out, like, you were on board.
Yeah. I mean, Killer Mike, I was sold. Well, because I was already a fan of his album Rap Music that he did at LPL, produced most of the production on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already sold on, like, their combination, mm-hmm, as a duo. So with that being said, I liked it because I always envisioned Killer Mike being, like, super duper gangster rapper from the South. Like I thought of him, like, as, like, 8-Ball MJG, UGK kind of shit. But then, like, I saw, like, oh shit, like, this dude has, like, gone into, like, a whole nother pocket of
him. Yeah, yeah.
And I was impressed with that because I was just like, yo, like, this is fucking fire. Like, mm-hmm, you know, like, this is actually, like, he went the purest, like, form route, because, like, his fan base, well, their fan base is mainly, like, festivals and, like, indie, like, backpacker rapper, mm-hmm, rap, right? So I was just impressed with that because, like, there's so many ways that Killer Mike could have went. Like, he's a part of the Dungeon Band.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that he could have did, and he went a whole nother way. And I actually think, like, it gave his rap career, like, it made his rap career ageless versus, like, being dated where, like, it's just like, oh, like, he's a crunk era rapper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It leveled him up in a different way.
So
it did.
When this came out, I was just super excited. And then the thing that really sold me on this project was that they had Zach De La Rocha on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me was like, because, like, you know, like, Zach De La Rocha, like, you don't come outside.
Mm-hmm. You don't do shit.
You know, he one of those, like, artists, like, you know, you just don't hear from him. So, like, they got him. I was like, oh, these niggas is on or something. These niggas is lit. And I just like the way that Killer Mike rapped about politics and stuff like that. I know, like, for some people, like, they're like, is like being beat over the head, but I think that it's just like his cadence and the way that he goes about it and, mm-hmm, like the way that he gets to his points,
mm-hmm,
are kind of like cool to me. So I just enjoyed that.
And a lot of them are firsthand experiences that he raps about.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So he's a lot of times he's telling stories about things that happened to him. And then on top of that, LP Man is very underrated. I'm not sure why he doesn't get talked about as one of those producers. Like, I'm not saying that he's on the same level as the Alchemist, but I wonder why he doesn't get that recognition. And I don't know if it's because, like, you know, he mainly works for Run the Jewels. I don't know what it is, but I think that LP needs more attention on his production,
mm-hmm,
because if you just listen to the production, like,
yeah,
on these albums, it's incredible. It's some of the greatest shit ever. And it's impressive that LP is able to, like, rap well.
Yeah.
And, like, keep up.
He can really rap, actually. Yeah. 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 So, like, for me, I've always been drawn to the art of this album. The art is amazing. The comic book tie-in, because they did. Which comic book was that?
I actually have it.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange.
I want to say it was Black Panther.
They did. Yeah, they did a Black
Panther. They did a Black Panther one. Damn. But they made it.
So much.
Yeah.
So let's see. All right. So they did one for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Then they.
Yep. That's the one I was thinking about.
For Deadpool Secret Wars. And then there's one for Guardians of the Galaxy, and that Rocket Raccoon and Howard the Duck on the cover.
Yeah. So the one with Black Panther was the one I was thinking about.
Yeah. The Black Panther one, and I have the Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Fire.
So, yeah.
So I've always been drawn to the type of art that it brought out.
Yeah.
The merch has been fire. But on the surface, you know, Run the Jewels can be a lot to digest as rappers. Like, mm-hmm, you know, they tackle very heavy topics. You know, Killer Mike has been on record to say that he kind of finds solace in being able to rap with LP the way that he does, because he kicks out a lot of shit that he feels like he can't get out on his own if he wasn't accompanied by a white person, because he feels like that white person, who's his friend, is there kind of like as his backing, and it makes the message that he's getting across, though it's brash, it comes off a lot easier because there's a white person next to him.
sorry, just to like show you, there's like multiple ones. There's one with Doctor Strange and the Punisher, Howard the Duck and Rocket Raccoon. There's a Deadpool one. There's a
Luke Cage.
And Iron Fist one. And then there's a Black Panther.
Yeah. That Black Panther one is the only one that I actually really remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to find the Luke Cage one. That's the only one I need to find. I have all of them except for Luke Cage. I've never seen Luke Cage.
Yeah, that's fire.
Him saying that, like, that's like a very like truthful, like honest thing, but it makes me sad that he like said, like, it's very honest. Like most Black people would say that, but it's like true. Like, you know, when you have like a white person standing next to you that like is like respected or a power, you might feel like you could say certain things or speak to certain things that like, you know, it's kind of like, it like violates you. Like, oh, this white guy, like either this white guy is crazy or he must be like the voice of reason to him or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And that's the reality, right? Unfortunately. So this album was pretty short too. It's 39 minutes. It's 11 tracks. And I would say the bulk of it is pretty topic heavy with police brutality and the state of the world. And around the time frame that it came out, I do remember Killer Mike doing an interview with, I want to say it was Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did an interview with Bernie Sanders around this time, and he was able to relate a lot of the tracks on here to their conversation. Like, even just there's one track on here that he kind of talks about. Oh, Lie, Cheat, Steal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Lie, Cheat, Steal was a standout on here, and not to jump ahead, but he spoke to Bernie Sanders about the song and its relevance, especially to like how billionaires can now buy elections.
Yeah.
And which is pretty much the focal point of Lie, Cheat, Steal, of like all these people in power that can manipulate the system like so easily. So I thought that was cool. And it's good. That's a track that's going to be relevant for as long as shit. Who knows? Like forever.
Agreed. You got to remember too, Killer Mike is from Atlanta, Georgia. And like, there were so many like Black figures that like came up in politics, and like his family is like very into like the politics and things like that. Like, I believe his father was a police officer.
Yeah, he was.
His father was a police officer. You got to think about it. Like growing, like in Atlanta, like Atlanta's not that big. So depending on like where you live, if you live like in the city, like Martin Luther King's house is like a central park, like right there. So, and then he went to Morehouse College, where like Martin Luther King is Michael Jordan. So like, it's just one of those things where like, I actually kind of like understand why he's so political. If like you were in tune with that, like if you have a relative that can like instill those things in you, and like for Killer Mike, like he's a very like, you could tell that he listens a lot. Like he takes in a lot of game.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually doesn't surprise me that like he is so politically charged in his music and
yeah.
He goes about it. Like and in Atlanta, like there's like every street is named after like some important figure that like marks with Dr. Martin Luther King or like that has gone on to like work in like the US government or like done something like important in the civil rights movement and Black history. Like it's actually as I've gotten older, I was like, damn, like shit, like all that fucking history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it actually makes sense. And it actually makes me wonder sometimes, I'm like, damn, like, a lot of other rappers from Atlanta, like, I wonder, like, do they choose not to? Or like, did they not get like the education that like Killer Mike did? Because the things that he's learned is something that's taught at home. It's not taught at school.
Right, right.
It's about like civil rights and like political stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I've always admired how Killer Mike in conversation can always just harken back to like some type of life lesson that he learned from somebody in his life.
Yeah.
Like at such a like drop of a dime, he's like, yeah, it's always how like my granny used to say. My granny would just say, like, he just like literally like like, bro, like he just would get into that shit. And I'm like, damn, like that's like picking up like jewels, like for lack of a better word, no pun intended, like just picking up jewels from family members and shit like that. Like, it's so intricate, man. Even down to like, and I meant to ask you this too. Like, does your family have specific recipes?
Yeah. Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, has that been passed down to you, or if that's something that you've been trying to get?
No, my grandmother gave me a lot of, my grandmother gave me her entire Thanksgiving recipe. Like all
that's fire. Okay. So what you make for Thanksgiving every year is the recipe.
Right. Is the recipe minus the turkey.
Okay.
The only thing that I added a twist on, my lemon pepper turkey.
That you can pass on.
So that's going to be something that I will pass on.
Yeah.
But as far as like how I prepare the ham, how I prepare the mac and cheese, how I make yams, how I make collard greens, it's all passed down to me from my grandma.
Got it.
The only thing that she passed on to me, I don't like stuffing, so I don't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not a stuffing person. And maybe I should just learn how to make it because everybody else likes it.
Yeah.
The only asshole that doesn't. So I'm like, if I don't like it, everybody else might get it.
Right, right. But, yeah, no, that's interesting because it's like, for me, there's a lot of recipes in my family, but then I feel like my generation that's in my family has not been making the conscious effort to consume those recipes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's, I know.
And it's funny because, okay, so I'll tell you a recipe that I want to get, and it won't be an issue to get the recipe. I'm just going to be pissed off because I know it's going to take time before I get it to get right. My father, this sounds funny, my dad's first wife, my first stepmother, Terry, makes some of the best lasagna I've ever had in my life. Her lasagna is that, like, it like stands up like a fucking cake. Like oh my God. Like I think about it all the time. I don't like onions and peppers. Her lasagna is so good. I just eat around the onions and peppers. I just think fuck it. Like, and that's my next thing that I want to get the recipe for and cook myself.
Yeah.
She like, I don't know. I know like there's like ways to go about doing shit, but like, yo, best lasagna I've ever had in my life. Cause I've had other lasagna. There was some people's lasagna, like, you know, like it's mushy. They don't use a lot of layers.
Mm-hmm.
Her shit is perfect. Like she layers it like a cake. It don't fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's something that like, I'm really like in tune with. And my family in South Carolina, I actually need to, go to Atlanta to my mom's house, to my other grandmother. Cause I need to sit down with her. And because like there's like Geechee rice, because they're from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's from Alabama. My mom's family's from South Carolina. They're Geechees.
Okay.
So like Gullah Gullah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually need to like, because my grandma's not, she's not Texan. So I got to sit down with her and like get some recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Just
to get them. Yeah. And that's, I guess, and I brought that up just because like I've been trying to, or I've been thinking about doing the same shit. Like I know people in my family that, if I want specific things, I go to them because it's like they make it the best.
Uh-huh.
But now it's like, all right, they make it the best. So I just need to go there with my fucking notebook and be in the kitchen with them. Because I gotta do that. Because, you know, everybody just getting older.
Yo, bro, it takes patience.
Yeah.
I always tell people, this is funny. We doing a hip hop podcast. I'm just talking about cooking.
Yeah.
with all of my friends that like say like cooking's hard and stuff like that, I always like tell them like it's more so like a patience, like a time thing. So like, just know like you just need to be in the kitchen. And it's like you'll get into a rhythm to a point where it's like you don't even got to think about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, all right, you know what? I don't listen about, you know, the way I gauge it is either if I listen to YouTube video clips because I know how long they are,
mm-hmm.
or I do it by listening to music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how I time things.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm listening to music, typically a song is 2 or 3 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm listening to like a jazz album or something like that. So I'm just like, all right, I'll listen to like 5 songs right now. Maybe
I do that same shit. Yeah.
Let me go check on this, or let me go stir this or something like that. Like, it's just something like where you kind of like just gotta like be okay with like, you know, getting up, sitting back down, you know, just having that routine.
Yeah.
And it's a patience thing. And then like, you know, have fun with it. Like taste that shit as you're going. Like, I don't know. I just make it fun. I just think it's something you should just, you know, kind of like want,
mm-hmm.
you know, have. And then like, mm-hmm. start biting us over when you're doing it.
So, yeah.
And like, you can have like people like test it out. That's
yeah.
with y'all.
Yeah. And just try it out. See what's working.
And it'll work. Like, I definitely encourage that. You definitely need to get like recipes from mm-hmm. like your relatives and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, just put it like in a book and you'll have. So yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Run the jewels.
Yeah. So I was only bringing that up because I went on a tangent of like when I was talking about how his grandmother just brought something up.
Yeah.
And then I just thought about my grandmother and my family and stuff. But yeah. So in the fold of this album, you know, like I said, it's a lot of political callbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think his idea is that his messaging will go across a lot better, like I said before, because he has this white person on his side, which is LP,
mm-hmm.
You know, who's an ally, so to speak. So album kicks off with Jeopardy. I'm about to bang this shit out, LP. That's how he kicks it off.
Yeah, Killer Mike made me run through a brick.
Yeah, I'm about to bang this shit the fuck out. Yeah, that's how he kicks it off. And it's such a, I remember when you wrote this review too, and you wrote this part and was like, yo, this part right here, like, cause it just kicks off. It sets the tone for the album, you know?
Yeah, it does. Because it's just like, you don't expect it to, the album to start off like that. Like, how motherfuckers about to go, like, so you like, yo, this is like live and direct in the studio with Killer Mike is saying like what he's about to do. Like, And he knows like how he about to get down. And I just also lets me know, like, yo, his confidence level was at, like, on, like, a trillion.
Yeah, and it's always been. Like, Killer Mike's confidence has always been what had him there as an MC. People kind of, he has an interesting timeline in rap, because people kind of just forget how long he's been around. Like,
he's in the dungeon, man.
Yeah, he's been around for a really long time.
Like, you know, like, Big Boy, like, had him. And like was really like grooming him and like teaching him the ropes. Like he had like he went to like the best. He had like the best teacher. He grew up being friends with T.I. and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
And dudes from the Goody Mob and stuff. Like, he had like some of like the best teachers and best examples ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, having like pastors in his family and shit like that. Like, man, I'm so fucking glad Killer Mike is getting his recognition. Mm-hmm. You don't even fucking know.
LP. Like, yo, yeah.
You know what? You don't understand. God knew better than to have, not to have Killer Mike get locked up on Grammy Night. Cause if Jay-Z would have had him come from that stage, he would have got to give that speech, bro. I probably would have lost my shit. I probably would have had a cardiac arrest. Like, hearing whatever the fuck he had to say. I just would have, I know I would have caught the Holy Ghost, like how people do in church. That would have been my, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I fucking love Killer Mike. I think Killer Mike, two people in hip hop that I just love and just I just get giddy about are Killer Mike and Fat Joe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just love seeing Fat Joe have a good time.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
So much.
And I even love the way LP ends his verse. Like, Run the Jewels is the answer. Your question is what's popping. Like, that's good. That's good. Love the aggression on that. Oh My Darling, Don't Cry, which was actually one of the singles for this album. Amazing beat.
Yeah.
Beat transition is great.
LP was levitating, bro.
This yeah.
Time. I wrote that this sounds like it should be on a score in a sci-fi like movie.
I can see that. This is fly. This is really good. Yeah, man. And it just builds on their chemistry. Like, it's another example of clean cut chemistry.
Yeah, it's
lyrical exercises.
Like, it's to me, like, it's very reminiscent of like EPMD, Mobb Deep, like, where it's like
EPMD for sure.
Like, you have like a rapper, you have a rapper producer combination, and the producer can rap.
Mm-hmm.
So like they just do their thing together. Mm-hmm. I'm just so happy that we got this project, and like, Lord knows I can't wait till I can like order my Run the Jewels 2 vinyl, because that's just something that I just need to have, just because the one that I did find is extremely expensive. So I'm waiting until like they reissue them. But it's going to get
I'm sure they will, yeah. Especially with all the spotlight on them right now.
And it's funny because all the other ones are out.
Mm.
But 2 is like a special one, because I think originally it was like you said, it was a free project.
Mm-hmm.
And like then like it just turned into something. That's like kind of like what catapulted them and like starting. The first one was good and it got a lot of attention, but the second one was the one.
Yeah.
Got all the recognition, got them all the promo.
Got great reviews everywhere. Pitchfork, yeah. I think, gave it like an 8.5 or yeah. 9.
Yeah, well, they did good shit. Mm-hmm. He gave it 4.
Yeah.
He gave it 4 a while.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it was a crazy, crazy project.
Blockbuster Night is another example, you know, of this chemistry that they have. You know, this beat, and this was actually the first single from this album.
Yo, I loved it. I loved the LP samples himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how, like, you know, like over and over again, like that's like what you hear. And it just feels like it's like a huge like run scene in a movie or something like that. It's very cinematic. And I thought that was dope.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to put it. And then what you got here? You got like the first full on tackling of police brutality on here.
And who else did to have the front man of Rage Against the Machine, the most political rock group ever?
Mm-hmm. Great placement, great production. Yeah, this is like, I can't say enough about this one. Even the video. Have you seen the video?
Of course I have.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just, like I said, like seeing like that they got like the front man of Rage Against the Machine, that exact David Bowie, I was just like, got him,
mm-hmm.
the house. You got him like, I just thought that was like the coolest thing ever. That was just impressive. I remember when Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang went on tour together.
What year was that?
It was the same year as the Double Disc album.
Of Wu-Tang Forever?
Yeah.
Okay.
They went on tour together. And the funny thing is, like, it's depicted in the Wu-Tang show. But I remember it because, like, my cousin worked for Razor Sharp, a.k.a. basically working for Wu-Tang.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember now, like, when I was a kid, I didn't know what was going on. But now I remember that none of the members wanted to go on this tour. Because the fans were all white.
Yeah.
And like, it was a culture shock for them. Like, RZA was trying to tell them, like, y'all, this is going to make y'all, like, money forever. Like, mm-hmm. they just didn't, they was like, these ain't our people.
You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just didn't want, they was like, yo, what they gonna do when I say nigga? Like, it was like.
And that, I see both sides.
Yeah.
I see both sides.
That,
sure.
That was like a thing, but like, yeah, like, I remember that. Like, that's how I learned who Rage Against the Machine was, because they went on tour with Wu-Tang.
Mm.
You know, like, that was, like, one of my, like, introductions. That was early on in me, because I like 80s rock and roll. And 90s rock, I was a fan of. I was, like, kind of, but I didn't like it when dudes in rock and roll raps. I thought that was corny. But Rage Against the Machine was, like, my introduction into that. And then after Rage Against the Machine, I became a huge Linkin Park fan.
Yeah. Okay. I think I became, all the rock bands that I knew about back then were because of MTV. Like, just by default. It's just like, yo, who are these people? Or fucking Beavis and Butthead. I'll watch Beavis and Butthead and they would be on the TV.
Right.
Like, they have their segments where they watch videos. I'm like, who are these people?
Right.
And then I would just see them all the time.
Yeah. Like, I used to do that too. Like, or I just wanted to, like, not, because, you know, I, like, when I went to school in Long Island, like, I was in school with white kids, so I just didn't want to, like, you know, me, I'm a know-it-all. I didn't want to not know what else. So.
Yeah.
I just started doing my research and shit. Mm-hmm.
All My Life is another good one. And we mentioned T.I. earlier, it sounds like T.I. should have been on this.
I agree. LP, I'll say this much, I think LP got the best of Mike on this track.
I think so too, actually. Yeah,
like, on yeah. That, like, LP was going fuck off. Shit, who knows? Maybe T.I. goes real for him.
Yeah, right? I didn't check the credits, but he went crazy.
It's possible.
He went crazy on this. Light Cheat Still was one we referenced earlier, where, you know, with Bernie Sanders, like, with Mike having the interview with Bernie Sanders. And I like the way Killer Mike does that too, where he brings up different parts, like when he's having a conversation, he'll bring up songs that he's done in such an organic way that's referenced what he's talking about in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, he just brings it up.
I think it's a very intelligent thing to do, and I think he's very intentional with a lot of his music and things that he does.
Extends the life of the song too.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that versus, like, with some rappers, like, they just like, yo, I need something. Killer Mike's a very thoughtful person. So mm-hmm. A lot of the things that he does, like, you know, there's no, like, wasted, like, motion in, like, what he's doing. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else on here? Is there any song on here that you're not really a big fan of?
Really?
Really? Why is that?
It sounds like they, like, LP was trying to get them to give them, like, a poppy crossover kind of song.
Mm.
I don't feel like they needed that.
Mm. Yeah, a poppy crossover song, but it's still Police Corruption and Brutality.
Yeah, I'm talking about the way it sounded.
Oh, okay.
Not the subject matter.
Okay.
Yeah, not the subject matter. The subject matter on all the songs, like, are intentional. But, like, I was just talking about, like, the beat. I just felt like LP, like, kind of, like, veered off from, like, the sound of the album. And mm-hmm. Like, throws me off whenever I listen to it.
Okay. Is that the only one?
Yeah.
Okay. I think for me... Let's see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Angel Duster. Closer.
I like the beat on Angel Duster a lot.
That should close the album, though. I think I think they could have capped it off at 10 and let Crown be the close.
Okay. I really... Damn, what's a song that I just don't really care for? So, I definitely don't love it.
Mm.
But there's not a song that I've specifically really dislike. I think one of my favorites is Love Again with Gangsta Boo.
That's all right. So for me, Love Again is the proof that, like, obviously Killer Mike wanted to get into, like, his, like, fucking like strip club bag he can because Killer Mike loves the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a Blue Flame all star.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Flame is like one of the most infamous clubs in Atlanta. They're obviously Magic City, we know.
Mm-hmm.
But like Blue Flame is like getting it out the fucking mud. It's fucking dirty and mm-hmm. shit. Like real strip club, but all that glamorous shit.
Mm-hmm. Gangsta Boo bodied it.
Yo,
this album needed this song for the balance that it brought.
It did. It was giving a little bit of scare in the hoes, and mm-hmm. then you bring Gangsta Boo through and talk to her nasty shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Rest in peace to Gangsta Boo. Which is crazy.
Yeah, man. Don't talk to her shit.
Yeah. But yeah, there's nothing that I outright just dislike on this album. I just think overall it's not an album that I would revisit all the time, but we can transition.
Last thing on Crown, the story mm-hmm. that he tells about selling drugs to a pregnant woman.
Oh yeah.
And then like him seeing her later and like apologizing to her, like kind of like forget being like, yo, like, no, like,
yeah,
good. Like,
yeah.
I was wrong. And like, you were just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You're both just trying to survive.
Like, and that's a real story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read that. That's a real story that he had. Mm-hmm. And he had an interview where he talked about like he dealt with so much guilt just from selling coke in general, but then he was trying to like offhand it by saying like, yo, like everybody sold coke. Everybody did this. Like, why do I feel like this? Like, I'm doing this to survive. I'm doing this because, you know, everybody's doing it. But why do I feel so bad? So he had like this conflict that he talks about on Crown. And like in this interview, I forget who was interviewing him. I like watched a bunch of shit going into this, but yeah. So transitioning, I guess, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I think that's just one of those things where, this is something that I was learning, like having like friends that like dabbling, like stuff like that. You have the people that like know better and like know that they're smart enough to like do other things to get to make a living. And then you have people that only have that option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Killer Mike, the reason why he had that conflict was because he's a college graduate from Morehouse. Like,
yeah,
he absolutely knew that he could do other things to get to that point
mm-hmm.
entrepreneurially. And like, I think that's why like he felt that way. Like, y'all, I'm cutting corners, I'm cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he felt that way. And
that's true.
And I think there's an interview where he talked about that. Like, that's how like I was able to come up so quick. Like, you have some people like there's nothing else that they're ever going to be or nothing else they're going to do. Killer Mike knew that wasn't the case for him. It was just right there, and it was easy and it was quick to do.
Either sold crack rock or had a wicked jump shot.
Yeah.
So we can transition that into ratings. Do you still? I know back then when you reviewed this, you gave it a 4. How do you feel today?
I'm just saying, like I don't. It's not. Killer Mike. Well, I know this is Killer Mike and LP, right? But I want to because. We have Michael, right? That project. I want to keep it at a 4, at Run the Jewels 2 out of 4, because I think that he still hasn't given us his best project yet, which actually makes me happy.
Mm. Well, I think the way that he ranks it, he feels like Michael is his best of the best, top notch rapping.
It is.
And he's so proud of it. Mm-hmm. And even when he made it, he was like, this album deserves a Grammy. Like, and I never heard him say anything about that, about prior records.
Cool with that.
Yeah.
I think that Michael is his best body of work to date, but I don't think that it's a perfect body of work. So I'm curious to see, because he did such a good job on Michael, and like now he's off of the high of, you know, getting receiving the awards and getting like the press. I want to see what he does to the follow up to Michael. But that's why like I'm like Run the Jewels 2 is definitely not like a classic or a perfect project.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that like I highly think that somebody should like listen to and recommend, because it's kind of speaking of it's a time capsule of the times during that time period. Like police brutality, like was on the horizon. So like, Killer Mike was addressing these things. And like, you remember like in 2014 to like now, so 10 years, like think about how bad it has gotten
mm-hmm.
since then.
Mm-hmm.
Like before that, like, you know, police brutality has always been like a thing, but it's been ramped up
mm-hmm.
since that time. So I think that this project in particular kind of like saw the writings on the wall, and like, you know, he was like, this needs to be addressed. This needs to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that I think like it didn't reach. I don't think it reached enough people though. So that's the thing. But yes, still a 4 out of 5 waffles. I still feel the way I felt about it when it dropped. I still get excited whenever I fucking hit an opening in Jeopardy, mm-hmm. just because, like, Killer Mike just knows how to rally the troops, man.
Yeah, he does. For me, I gave it a 3.5. 3.5 is still a good rating. I knew you was going to shake your head. 3.5 is still a good rating. But I think for me,
I try to rank in like the revisiting aspect of albums, right? So when I listen to it, and for me, I don't think I would revisit this as often. Like it's a solid body of work. LP did an amazing job with the production. He holds his own with Killer Mike. I just think the subject matter is what it, that's why I was so thankful when I got Love Again, because I'm like, all right, I need to break this up. Like, it's a lot of heavy shit in here. I gotta break this up, you know? But then you follow that with Crown, which is heavy again. So it's like, I just think I needed more balance in this album for what I like, you know? That's all. But it is a recommended album. And if you're following Killer Mike as a rapper, you know, coming off his Grammys especially, I think this is an album that you should run into.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm First Class Reg.
And I'm Tori and V.
I'm out of here. We're out of here.
We'll catch you next time. Violent Run the Jewels more popular to the urban.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why do you think Run the Jewels isn't more popular to the urban audience?
I think their subject matter is heavy. It's probably not as digestible to the urban audience, like, you know, when they're trying to get into it. And also, I don't think enough people really know about LP. He's this white guy, but then also Killer Mike on the forefront, he has this image like it's pro-black everything. But when you listen to him, it's not really like that. But I would say his image is like that. And then it's in direct contrast to him linking up with this white guy that people don't really know.
Mm-hmm. For me, as a Run the Jewels fan, I think it's just that their audience is more like a underground kind of like indie scene audience.
Mm-hmm.
And typically like that scene is like a lot older, one, and two, like is a little bit more white. Mm-hmm. And that's just the truth of it. Like, I think that a lot of people fuck with Killer Mike and know that Killer Mike can rap. I do think that LP is like very slept on and very like, you know, where he's a low key dude. I don't think he really cares about the fame and everything like
mm-hmm.
that. But I just think like that's the case, because like, you know, a lot of people know, like, especially because of, you know, the Grammy win, that Killer Mike has his solo out. But like, I've met some people that still don't know that Run the Jewels is a group.
Yeah.
Or like what it is, because like their promo is, you know, is the hint, is this. It's not mm-hmm. Killer Mike and LP on the cover or something like that. So I'm not sure why it doesn't cut through, but I'm actually okay with that. I think that Killer Mike, you know, they tour a lot, they do festivals, they go on tour, like, so I think that they're satisfied with that. But I also wish that some more people would listen to Run the Jewels, because I think that they have like a message that they try to extend through.
They definitely do, yeah.
And I think that is very relevant to the times. I know some people don't like Killer Mike's politics or like certain things. Like, there's people that like he endorses or doesn't endorses, or, you know, he's very much about like, he's very pro the right to carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he turns a lot of people off. But I think Killer Mike is just one of the most talented rappers to ever live. And I think that you should just check out his project.
And check him out.
I think Killer Mike is that guy. You know, he just put out Michael. That project has, you know, it was all over, talked about the Grammys, did a clean sweep of the rap
category. Critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed project. So, you know, I think you should check out Run the Jewels. I don't think he's rapping about anything that's less black. Like, he's actually talking about some of the blackest stuff ever. He's talking about police brutality and
mm-hmm.
politics and things that's going on in America right
mm-hmm.
now.
So mm-hmm.
it is heavy. And some people just want to hear, you know, shake a booty music and like, you know, dance music and stuff like that and whatever, like drugs. But, you know, give Killer Mike a check, you know, give Killer Mike an LP, like, you know, give him a chance.
A solid listen. Yeah, give him a listen. Yeah, check it out. But I do think, you know, him being associated with LP, people, I think it's confusing for some people, because especially like you said, like when you see the logo, it's not tied to anything. Like, you don't really. It's a fire logo, but you don't really see who's tied to it. You know, there's still a disconnect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let us know. Do you like Run the Jewels? Like, you know, would you check them out? Let us know.